5, you remember the incident about Peter being told to put out into the deep and to let down for a draught of fishes. And then, at verse 8, but Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was amazed, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. From henceforth. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that ye no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past may suffice to have worked out the desire of the Gentiles, and to have walked in lasciviousness, lusts, wine-bibbings, reveling, carousing, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead. Notice those words. The rest of your time in the flesh. Now, one other reference in Hebrews 5, verse 7. Concerning our Savior, it says, who, in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him out of death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation, named of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The message is the rest of your time in the flesh. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thou art he who brought time into existence. We are aware that as incomprehensible as it is to us, at one time, and how else can we express it, there was no time. But you are he who began time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. Our Father, we thank you that you are he who has called to our attention that we are creatures of time, that our days can be measured and numbered. And we pray, our God, that we shall take this to heart, because that is the way that you have made us. And our Father, only by thy Spirit can this be done. How foolish are those who think that they shall live forever. We pray, our God, that thou shalt teach us, as the psalmist said, show me how frail I am. Our God, let us know that some of us do not have to pray to thee to be shown that. We are aware of it. But our God, perhaps there are some who think that they are strong and their days shall never end. Show them how frail they are. Teach us, our Father, what we are. Thou God, who inhabitest eternity, teach us that we are creatures of time. Now we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and let not what is said this morning be in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and prepare the hearts that good seed may fall into good ground, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. A strange thing our Lord said, apparently contradictory, was this. Talking about God's will, he said God's will was that everyone who beheld the Son and believed in him should have eternal life. And he added, and I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't that a strange thing? He said, if you behold me and believe on me, you will have eternal life. And then he adds, I will raise you up at the last day. Well, if you have eternal life, you would think that you would never die. So the Savior put side by side eternal life and resurrection from the dead, because to possess eternal life does not mean that you're not going to die, but it is a different kind of life and body which is subject to death is going to die. But Christ says that is immaterial to him, because he is the resurrection and the life, and when the last day comes, or in the case of Lazarus, or the widow of Nain's son, it means nothing to him. He simply says, arise, come forth. He is the one who will raise it up. So, it seems as if it's a contradiction, but there is no contradiction. Eternal life, that means you will have no experience with spiritual death. There will be no alienation from God. I rejoice that you who have trusted Christ as Savior shall see his face. You will be with him forever. But it does not exempt you from dying, because the Savior himself has said, if you behold me and believe on me, you will have eternal life. But then he adds, I will raise you up at the last day. So understand this, that it is appointed unto men once to die. And our Savior himself was flesh and blood, and it was appointed unto him to die. Not the same as you. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death, you see, he became a partaker of flesh and blood that he might die. The Lord Jesus was never subject to death. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment received I of my Father. He was not subject to death, but he was capable of death. And that is why he became flesh and blood. And he who in the beginning was, in the beginning was the Word. Whenever time began, the eternal Word already was. And understand this, there never was a time when our Savior was not. He is eternal. But this is, and alas, I know how old I am, in relation to a date. We call this 1992. From what? You say, why? From the time that Jesus was born. Then Jesus had a beginning. Do you understand? Jesus had a beginning, because the Word took on humanity. This is the way it's expressed in Philippians 2, and that's why I have no fear of contradiction when I tell you how the incarnation took place. It said, who, existing in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped, be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. The Lord Jesus took humanity. He took flesh. He became flesh and tabernacled among us. And the Lord Jesus had a beginning. He took flesh. That was a time. Jesus was born. And the reigns of certain monarchs are given us in relation to when our Savior was born. So understand that death has laid hold on every sinful man. There is no sinner who has ever escaped death. Not one. And no sinner will ever escape death. There have been two saints who escaped death, Enoch and Elijah. But no sinner has ever escaped death, and he never shall escape death. In fact, the Bible speaks of the second death. It may be that I experience the first death, but I shall never experience the second death. And thank God, it may be that I never experience the first death. However, if I do not, that is the exception and not the rule. If I am here when my Savior comes, I will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then I will neither have experienced the first death nor the second death. My escaping the second death was ensured when I received Christ as my Savior. Now, my escaping the first death, that is entirely dependent upon when my Savior comes back from heaven. I would like to be here, not ashamed, but filled with joy when the Savior comes. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. For some of us are going to be before Him when He comes. And if we are His little children, some of us, when He comes, may be ashamed, and some of us may have boldness, and may meet Him with joy, and we are they who shall escape the first death and the second death. But the Lord Jesus did not escape death. He was the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. Understand that. Slain, and it mentions two things in the Bible. Pushing way back from the foundation of the world and before the foundation of the world. Christ being slain is in reference to one of these, and Christ being loved by His Father is in reference to one of these. He says, Father, You loved me before the foundation of the world, and that's before time. This Eternal One experienced eternal bliss with His Father, the Father, Son, and Spirit, independently serene. And yet, in God's wisdom, He chose to create man. And when sin came, it was the will of God that His Son come from heaven. And it's not a thing willed of Your Father that anyone perish. And the will of Your Father is this, that any sinner who beholds the Son and believes on the Son should have eternal life. He shall never perish. No one shall pluck him out of Christ's hands. But he probably is going to die. But if he does, the Lord Jesus adds, I will raise him up at the last day. So, think again of those words telling us of time as to what I read you in Luke 5 and in 1 Peter 4. What had Peter been until the time that Christ spoke words to him as to his future? He said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He had been a sinful man. That was his past. And at the same time, he had been a fisherman. So, we are by nature what we do for a living, and both of them are brought to our attention. Peter confessed it, I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was a fisherman, because he said, we labored all night long and have taken nothing. You understand? So he said, I'm a fisherman. I'm experienced in this. But I took nothing, laboring all night. But at the same time, he confessed that he was a sinful man. And so it used to be that all of us could be described this way. By nature, we are sinners. And by vocation, but nowadays, it seems to be an art to escape work. What is your vocation? I remember asking a young man once that came from a well-to-do family. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Me?" He said, "I'm not doing anything." Boasting as if that were a glorious thing. But if you ask Peter, he would say, "Well, by nature, I'm a sinful man, and I confess it to the Lord." And he said, "My vocation?" He said, "I am a fisher." So, remember that your life is divided into two segments if you have trusted Christ as Savior. If not, it is only divided into one segment. There is no division. There is only one segment. But Peter speaks of the days of your flesh, he said, that you no longer should spend the rest of your time, what is remaining of your time in the flesh. And for our Savior himself spent time in the flesh. I have no desire to explain the subtleties of in the flesh, as when Paul said, "But we are not in the flesh, but in the spirit." When it speaks of our Savior in the flesh, it simply means as a human being. The word became flesh. It simply means a human being, a partaker of flesh and blood. Now I will show you the other way our Savior is described. We are described in our days in the flesh this way. In 1 Corinthians 15, it speaks about us now, we who need to be raised from the dead. It speaks of us as having a natural body, a soulish body. It says in the future, in resurrection life, we shall have a spiritual body. Remarkable. A soulish body. Well, a soul is an immaterial thing, yes, but we are called a soulish body in the days of our flesh. But in the resurrection, we are called spiritual, a spiritual body. As the Lord Jesus said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you behold me have it." So the spiritual body is still a body, but it is adapted to an entirely different environment, and it is no longer controlled by the soul, but by the spirit. And thank God for us who have trusted Christ as Savior. All those sinful lusts and tendencies that pull us down today shall be gone. Because I'm not only going to be like my Savior physically, but I'm going to be like my Savior morally. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Because how miserable to have a body to live forever, but to be miserable, I would be crying out in heaven, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And this body of death, but that is not going to die. And that was a boon from God when he spoke about man partaking of the tree of life and living forever. What a horrible thing to live forever in your sins. And yet that is how some are going to exist forever. He said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." But in the case of Christ, it simply means his life as a human being. It means from the time that you are born until the time that you die, those are the days in the flesh. Your days in the flesh. And nowadays, they usually last, as was read to you in Psalm 90, the days of our years are 70 years, or if by reason of strength, 80 years, and some fight on and labor and reach 100, and some a little more, but then we soon fly away. And so here is one that is over 100 years of age, the days of his flesh, over 100 years, but he's going to die, and he will soon fly away. And I spoke of the days of our flesh being divided into two parts. The number of our days in the flesh, when we did not know Christ as Savior, and then the days in our flesh, the days of our flesh, when we did know Christ as Savior. And that's what is brought to our attention in both Luke 5 and in 1 Peter 4. Listen to Luke 5. He said, from henceforth, there's the beginning. What have you been doing up until now? I've been catching fish. And the Lord Jesus said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. He's going to make him and his other associates fishers of men. And so there was a beginning when Peter became a fisher of men. And when he did, those were the rest of his days. That you should no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh. And so the rest of Peter's time in the flesh momentously began when he left everything and followed Christ. We do not know if he were a believer before then, because it says many times about the disciples believing in him. It says in John chapter 2, when he performed that miracle, it says his disciples saw his glory and they believed on him. Did they not believe on him before? Well, it says again in John 2 that they believed on him. There was a progression in that, but it's that when they actually believed, God knows. But I do know this, that the Lord Jesus took Peter that day, and from henceforth, he said, thou shalt catch men. And also in 1 Peter chapter 4, it's the same thing. He said that you should no longer spend the rest of your time in the flesh. Now tell me this. How much more time in the flesh do you have? You don't know, do you? It may very well be that when Simeon was on earth, he had been promised by the Spirit of God that he would never die until he had seen the Lord Christ. And he held the Savior in his arms and he saw him. And he said, now lettest thou thy servant depart, O Lord, in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And so the rest of his days in the flesh, after he had seen the Savior, they seemed to be ever so few. And what about Anna? Over 100 years of age, she saw the Savior, and she spoke of him. And how many days in the flesh remain for Simeon and for Anna, a woman over 100 years of age? You say, why, if a person were that old, each morning when they got up, they would say, Lord, thank you for another day. But you young people, don't talk that way. You say, I have the schooling to accomplish. And then when I enter business, I want promotions. I want to get to the top. You see the way you think? You think that your days in the flesh are endless, or that you shall never, it never enters your mind. But remember that the Savior spoke about that person who was not numbering his days, was not considering his days in the flesh. He said, I had a good crop this year. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these little barns and build greater barns, and I shall say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, enjoy life. And the voice came to him, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. So how many days remaining in the flesh do you have? God may call you tonight. And because I am 65 and Bruce was 40, Bruce may go before I go. And at the same time, I may go and some who are older may live many years after I'm gone. And so I'm not going to boast myself about tomorrow. The only thing I can boast about is this. My time is in your hand, and all our times are in his hand. And I've taken to heart what was spoken to that proud king. He said, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. All of our breath are in the hand of God. He is the one who controls. And remarkable thing is this, that the Lord Jesus takes to himself that prerogative. The God in whose hand thy breath is, God determines how long you live when you are to die. And the Lord Jesus in John chapter 21 said, "Now, Peter, when you were young, but when you shall be old." So what about this other disciple? The Lord Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" So do you understand? It may be that Peter is to go soon. It may be that John is to abide long. And so we do not boast the remainder of our days in the flesh, our time in the flesh. How much time is that? You do not know, and I do not know. And so teach us to number our days. Young people, number your days. Our Savior only had allotted to him on earth about half of 70. And in the psalm, he cries, "O Lord, take me not away in the midst of my days." And so the Savior, if anyone should have lived and enjoyed good days, it should have been our Savior. But it was necessary that our Savior also once suffer for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And therefore, the Lord Jesus said, "The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" And when that cup was drunk, and when it was emptied, the Lord Jesus said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And that is when the days of the flesh ended. And God may not give you that opportunity. One of the finest opportunities that God gives is a period of life that a man knows that he has before he's going to die. God said to Hezekiah, "Set your house in order. You're going to die and not live." Well, he's been warned, and so he can do something. The loose ends, the person that you sinned against, you should go and be reconciled. But it's not always that way. Just as Absalom, who rose up against his father, and as he was riding, trying to escape, his head was caught in the boughs of that oak tree, and he's hanging there, and he dies. God does not always tell you when you're going to die. And Absalom did not think he was going to die. He thought he would dethrone his father and be exalted in Israel. But he was to die that day. And in like manner, when King Saul is wanting to know the future, and then he hears the future, that so very, very soon he is going to be with Saul, whom he calls back to ask information concerning the future. And so, your remaining days in the flesh, tell me, how long do you think you're going to live? You young people, you say, "Well, I may live to be 70, and I remember Brother Nett, he was in his 90s. Yes, and a dear friend of mine, two dear friends, died just last year. One was 86, and one was 91, and a few years ago, I knew old Brother Rolls, and he lived to be almost 100 years of age. And I enjoyed their fellowship so long. But, it says, after so long a time, we die, and we soon fly away." And those are the days of our flesh. And Peter says that you should no longer live the remainder of your time in the flesh. The remainder of your time in the flesh. Think of this. Here is this thief on the cross. He had but a few hours or even less to live. But God has placed him next to the Savior. And he's able to talk to the Savior. And he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Savior says unto him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And the remainder of his time in the flesh, by less than a day. But thank God he had trusted Christ as Savior. You see, some trust Christ as Savior and have less than a day remaining time in the flesh. And others, as Timothy, "From an infant thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And how long did Timothy live? And so some early in life trust Christ, and then they have many days. And I remember this. I trusted Christ when I was 19. And I thought at that time I had lived 19 years in the flesh. But henceforth, for me, began March the 27th, 1946. And I remember I celebrated my first spiritual birthday, my second, my third, and finally, I became 38 years of age. And I said, Lord, I have lived as long for you in the days of my flesh as I did not doing your will in the days of my flesh. And then when I reached 39, Lord, I have lived longer for you to your will than I did in the days of my flesh. But think of that poor thief on the cross who had spent his whole life in sin, and he had but a few hours to live, that which remained to him. All right, we are not being crucified. We are not expecting death imminently. But the point is this, you're going to die unless Jesus comes. And if all of this is true, well, Jesus may come today, not the soon coming of our Lord, but as the brother said, the imminent coming of our Lord. Well, if this imminency is true, why are you not numbering your days? Because your service for God will end when the Savior comes. And I'm wondering about these people that say, oh yes, Jesus, he may come today before the meeting is over. And then they're going to spend the rest of their time in the flesh just as if Jesus were not going to come for another 100 years. And so there's something wrong about that. But let me tell you about our dear friend Jake. We visited him in the hospital the other night, and he said, I was brought face to face with death just the night before. He said, I thought about my heart. I thought about the medicine that I was taking, and this medicine was not causing my heart to get well, but just enabling it to go on. And he said, I came face to face with reality. And that night, he said, I went to sleep and slept like a baby. You see, at times, a man says, I shall get well and grow strong and spend the rest of my days. But then, here is Jake, and he said, Lord, I may not get well, and I may not get strong. I may go home to be with you tonight. And so he could close his eyes and sleep. I will both lay me down and sleep. You, Lord, give me peace and serenity of heart. Do you understand? So, Jake said, I may not have one more day, but he could close his eyes in peace. But you and I are not in that condition because we're expecting to live longer. And yet, when are you going to get about doing God's will? You still don't know the Bible. You do not witness for God. You do not study for God. You do not teach for God. You're not consistent in your living for God. And it says, you are no longer to live the remainder of your time. The days that still are yours, you are not to live it to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And if you think of this past year, has your life been lived to the will of God? How little return does God get for all that he's given? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He gave his son. And now, he says, I want you to love me with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. What have you given God of all your being? You say, well, here, Lord, here is something for you. And God is aware of it. He saw when people were casting money into the treasury. And he saw some that were wealthy cast in much. And he saw that poor widow cast in two mites. And he was impressed. He said, that woman has cast in more than all the wealthy. She cast in of her living. They are their superfluity. So, oh yes, Lord, when everything in the material way is taken care of, then I will give you more. And Lord, when everything that requires my time down here is taken up, then I will give you time. You see, whenever everything of the flesh, the will of man, when all of those things are taken care of, then God, what is left, I will give unto you. You think that God wants that? Is God so ignorant that he does not know a cow that you give to him that is diseased, that does not have horns and hoofs? Do you not think that God is aware of the relevancy, of the value of whatever you give him? Of course he is, and he wants the best. And so what is going to happen is this, and what is so sad is that not from an infant that was known, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. But now you're going to live for God, but you've known these things from your infancy, and you haven't begun to live for God. You have given him just leftovers. You've given him things unimportant. The part of your life that is refuse, that is convenient to you rather than meaningful to him, you have given to God. And you say, aren't you pleased? You see, God, I've given you something back. He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all. And now, what have we given back to him? So he says, look, you have remaining time here. He said, I want you to think about the past. He said, the time may suffice to have worked out all of these evil desires. And then he mentioned these abominable things that vile sinners practice. But there are other respectable sinners as well. Because, Lord, I'm giving my life to music, to medicine, to engineering, to philosophy. Well, if God isn't included in it, it's just a refined kind of sin. And that's what we fail to distinguish, that there is refined sin, and there is vulgarity of sin. And so we say, well, if there is no vulgarity of sin, all of these other things are not displeasing to God. They are still the will of men. And he speaks of time past being sufficient to have worked out these things. And for that reason, think of the past, the life that you've lived for the will of man, the lust of the flesh. And then if you say, well, I trusted Christ as Savior, then if the Savior says, from henceforth, you're to catch men, from henceforth, you're to live to my glory, then from henceforth, and that is today, this is the beginning of the new year, the first Lord's Day of a new year, from henceforth, live to the glory of God, and not the lusts of men. The remainder of our time in the flesh, let it be lived to the glory of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you have made us creatures of time. We are able to look back and ascertain that our fathers and mothers told us that we were born. And our Father, now that we are of age, we are aware that we are going to die. So, knowing these things, let us realize that we are not going to live forever. Either death shall claim us, or thy Son shall claim us. And only those things, having trusted you as Savior, in the remainder of the time that we have on earth, shall count for eternity. So let us not live as we did in the past, but let us live consecrated, glorified lives in the future. Come, Lord Jesus, but until thou dost come, let us spend the remainder of our time in the flesh to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen.